That was just wonderful. I want to be a Christian in my heart. I want to be like Jesus in my heart. That was a wonderful message, really touching. Thank you, choir. And Gene's coming up. I've been praying for Gene all weekend. I'm very selfish because I love the way Gene reads Scripture. It just feels like the Holy Spirit takes hold of her and it speaks through her and makes it come alive. She's had some struggle with some health issues, and so I've been praying for her so she could be here today. And what an answer to prayer. And
I'm very thankful to be able to.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
The scripture this morning is taken from several passages. First one is Isaiah chapter 9, for the first 8 verses. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For, as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. Every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and forever. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. The Lord has sent a message against Jacob. It will fall on Israel. Continuing in Isaiah 60, the first 3 verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and his glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your dawn. Continuing in Matthew chapter 4, verses 12 to 17. When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived in Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet Isaiah, land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea, beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near. Continuing in Ephesians chapter 5, verses 8 to 14. And for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light, for the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. It is shameful even to mention what the disobedient do in secret. But everything exposed by the light becomes visible, and everything that is illuminated becomes a light. This is why it is said, wake up, sleeper, rise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. The word of the Lord.
Sure, there's a few people chuckling as they look at my slide and kind of wonder, what am I up to here with my sermon message? How many people recognize the movie and the scene? How many have seen that movie of A Few Good Men and remember that intense drama between Tom Cruise, who is the prosecutor, and Jack Nicholson, who is the, I guess he was the top general guy. And the question that was given to him, I want the truth. And Jack Nicholson says, you can't handle the truth. Not that I'm a Jack Nicholas impersonator, but it was an intense scene. You can't handle the truth. And you know, I was given this topic of the prophets. And like dealing with the last topic I had, which was the fall of Israel and 450 years of history, the prophets span a long there's a lot to do with the prophets. But as I was studying and reading about the prophets, the people of Israel seemed to struggle. You can't handle the truth. As the prophets were speaking the truth of God, they couldn't handle it. So I got to thinking, I wonder if anybody else has used this same expression as part of their sermon message. You know, so I went on the Google site, and sure enough, somebody else had a similar type of inspiration to use this as an opener in their message, because they also saw the Israelites, the nation, struggling with the truth that these prophets were giving to them. Enough of that scene. The prophets were considered to be the voice of God. So when they spoke, it was as if God was speaking to them directly. And that's what they were recognized. It's the voice of God, declares the Lord, so says the Lord. Everything that they were speaking was given to them by God. And so how did this happen? So God gave it to them. You often see in a vision or in a dream or an oracle or just a word of knowledge, as we call it. God giving them the wisdom to understand what was happening. And the prophets were basically doing two things. It was forthtelling and foretelling. So forthtelling is proclaiming God's truth in the situation. So when you speak God's truth and speak the scripture truth into a situation, that's what the prophets do. And so God would point out where their sins and where they had fallen short of the agreement that they were supposed to do in worshiping God and having a heart for following God. The prophets would begin with that, from usually sometimes from Scripture, reminding them, speaking the words of God and truth into the situation. But also then, the prophets would bring judgment. So God would tell them, as a punishment for your continuing disobedience and not following me, this is what's going to happen. So the foretelling of the Assyrians and then the Babylonians and the Persians, God raising up mighty armies to deal with the Israelites and carrying them off into exile, were all part of the foretelling. This is what's going to happen. If you don't change your ways, this is what's going to happen. So that's kind of a foretelling, what we call foretelling, God's plan of action and judgment. There's also some prophets are called to action. So a lot of times you'll read they're the voice of God, but some prophets were called to be the action arm of God as well. So when we look at the prophets, and if you're in the study, and on page 119 in the study book, and by the way, in our E100 series that we're finishing up with the Old Testament this week, and we're moving into the New Testament next week, another 6 weeks, makes a great Lent study. So if you haven't got the book, there's still a few left. Or if you have an Android device, you can download the app for free and have that, what's in here on your app, and you can follow it through each day for the remainder remainder of Lent. But one of the questions we're going to look at in our study group on Tuesday, and I was encouraging the Thursday group to look at the same thing on page 119, it says, what was it like to be a prophet? And so here, prophets were frequently despised, conspired against, threatened, jailed, thrown down a well, left to die. And a good example of this is Jeremiah. If you read the story of Jeremiah, all these things happened to him. But also, if you look at Amos, for example, here is Amos as a shepherd. He comes out of the south. He goes to prophesy in the north, and the main priest there rebukes him, tells him to go home. In fact, he tells the king, Jeroboam, to kill him, which he didn't, thankfully, and Amos continues. So we see that. There's also some really interesting other stories to read about the prophets. I'm going to bring a few up. But in the Bible study, I don't have all the time to go into all the stories about the prophets and what it meant to live as a prophet. But in the studies, I encourage the groups to spend a moment, just look at that, because it was not an easy thing to be a prophet. So in the Bible, the prophet books are basically broken down into two sections, major prophets and minor prophets. The four major, you can see them listed on the left, Isaiah, Jeremiah, and Ezekiel, Daniel, Lamentations is part of Jeremiah's writing, so it's in there as well. And the minor prophets, which run in sequence from the top left, from Hosea down to Malachi. And they're called the minor prophets. And the reason for that is simply because of volume. And so Isaiah and to Daniel, they're much bigger books, and so they were called major. And the other ones sometimes are just a couple pages, a couple chapters, and so they're called minor. And just to go over a few funny little stories here, we talk about Ezekiel. And if you look at the book of Ezekiel, God did some funny things with Ezekiel. Now, God did these things to the prophets, so the prophets would understand the depth of what God was feeling in the message that they were given to portray. And so this is why these prophets had to do these funny things. And Ezekiel, I mean, he had to cut his hair and beard off with a sharp sword and put it into different things and burn some and spread some. And all that had special meaning. But two prophecies that Ezekiel had, one was the wheel within a wheel. Now, who remembers in Sunday school singing, Ezekiel saw a wheel a-rollum? Anybody up there? Ezekiel saw a wheel a-rollum. My wife says, please don't sing that. And the big wheel ran by faith, and the little wheel ran by the grace of God. And then there's another one by Ezekiel that, being a chiropractor, my colleagues and friends pointed out to me, was the vision of the dry bones. Ezekiel cried, dry bones, damn dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And then the hip bones connected to the knee bone and so on, hear the word. So being a chiropractor, you can see why my colleagues and friends had fun with that one. But we sang that in Sunday school to help us remember some of these amazing things that the prophets did. Dare to be a Daniel, we sang that song as well. Fun things. God did with Hosea. He married a prostitute because God felt Israel was his bride, and they had prostituted themselves by worshiping other gods. So Hosea had to bring a message of judgment on the people for that, and wanted him to know what that felt like. And not only did he have to marry a prostitute, Gomer, he had two children with her, so that also with the people of Israel, as they next generations, had to get a feeling for what it's like to have generation after generation not loving the Lord. And so there's other things. The story of Jonah is funny. If you read that one, and Jonah sulks and goes off in a hissy fit at the end because God didn't. They repented. And he thought, wow, you know, he's wanted Sodom and Gomorrah on them, but they repented. And so God honored that and blessed them. And he thought, man, I've been swallowed by a whale and thrown up and everything, and then this is what happens. And so there's some interesting stories here about the life of the prophets. In these other prophets are not mentioned like a book, but they are still prophets. prophets as such. My favorite action prophet is Elijah. And there's a great story in Elijah. And the king of the Aramaeans at the north, so he is sending his armies in to attack the northern and pillage them. But then all of a sudden, every time he sends his army down, the Israelites know exactly where they are and can ambush them. So the king starts to think somebody is a traitor in my kingdom, and he's going to start dealing with his own traitor. And they say, no, it's not us. It's Elijah. Their God tells him everything where we are. He says, well, let's go kill him. So a big army. And now Elijah's living in a little community with other prophets. So they don't have any defensive army or anything. So this great big army comes down and surrounds around, and they're getting ready to kill everybody, including Elijah. And Elijah's assistant comes out and says, Elijah, there's this huge army coming. And he says, no problem. We've outnumbered them. He says, you got to be kidding. And so he says, Lord, open his eyes. And with that, he sees the Lord's army camped on around, all these flaming chariots. It's amazing if you just get your head around that imagery. But more funny still, Elijah says, Lord, strike them with blindness. So he does. God strikes the whole army with blindness. They're looking for Elijah. Elijah walks out to the army and says, I will lead you to the person you're looking for. And he walks them right in south to Samaria, right into the middle of the Israeli army. And they were all around them. And then he says, Lord, give them back their sight. And they look and they go, this is not a good scene. So the head of the Israeli army says, what should we do? Should we slaughter them all? And Elijah says, no, give them food and water and send them back to the king, and they're not going to bother you ever again. The king was really happy to get his army back. And do you think he had a high regard for the God of Israel to he could take his whole army out like that? And so I draw encouragement from stories like that. Sometimes you just feel these things come against you in life. Just get that sense that Satan's working against you. And everything you go to do, Satan's just there working against you. I just remember that story and I say, Lord, just put some blindness in some of the stuff that's going around on me and help me to lead and see my way out of this and just bring your army and help deal with this problem is bigger than me. And just get that sense. I just claim that story for myself. And I love that. There's lots of other action stories. Elijah has some great stories, but I don't have time to go into all of those. I just encourage you to read some of them. The prophets of the Old Testament, they brought a message of hope to the people of Israel that were in exile, that God still loved them. So if they turned and repented, God would restore them and return them back to their land. So there's hope. But there's also a growing indication from the prophet's message that God was going to do things differently, a new covenant. And we see that in Jeremiah 31 to 34. I only mention a few verses here. But the days are coming, declares the Lord, that I will make a new covenant in the people of Israel with the people of Judah. And talks about, I'm going to place my will and the law in their minds and their hearts. There's a new covenant that's coming, built this expectation. But the more so is that they started prophesying that there's a Messiah coming. God with us. God is coming. A Messiah that's coming. And that's what we see in today's scripture when we look at Isaiah and talk that there's this light coming out of the north provinces. And then in Matthew, we see Matthew, when he writes about Jesus is moving from Nazareth to Capernaum, that is a fulfillment of what the people saw was the light coming from the northern province, because the northern province was dark. It was the first one to fall. They were the most disobedient. But God promised he would bring a light and hope out of that. And so that's what we see in the Messiah. Jesus started his public ministry with that association. That's what Matthew put in there when we looked at that writing between Isaiah 9 and Matthew 4, was the connection between that. We looked at Isaiah 60 and Ephesians 4. And so this whole theme of light comes out of this forthtelling of Isaiah about the coming Messiah. So we see in the New Testament this light. John talks about Jesus being the light of the kingdom. We sing about it. and we read about it. And Paul, then he ties in about being children of light and rise up and wake up, and quotes Isaiah 60, is that light? Because he's a Pharisee. He understands the Hebrew scriptures and that Jesus is the fulfillment of what the messianic prophecies were all about. Another really great section in Isaiah about the prophecy of the Messiah is chapter 53, the suffering servant. And you read through that, and you can see Jesus' story and life being foretold in Isaiah 53. So we look at, what is the application here? So, okay, we're looking at the prophets. And Deb was mentioning, and we've been mentioning, that what we've looked at was for them. How do we understand that for us today? So the Israelites couldn't handle the truth. So can we ask ourselves, can we handle the truth? If we can handle the truth, then are we a fully alive, are we a community fully alive in Christ? What would the prophets say? If a prophet came here today, what would they say about us? What truth would they bring to us today? They'd look at our study of the Word, our prayer, our worship, and our service. And what is really encouraging, you got the email from Pastor George, the session in this past week has declared that Lent will be for us an emphasis on God's Word in prayer. We see that we're working through the E100 series. And the prophet that we had here, the Reverend Victor Shepherd, if you remember when he came here, the attendance wasn't the best, sometimes bad weather and wintertime. But he said to me and others, the people here are hungry for the Word of God, for the Word of the Lord. People are hungry for that. He's been to other places where they've been packed, and there's been no response or interaction with him. He said he came here, and people were engaging and hungry to know more. And so I recognize that as a truth, like a prophet. He was speaking truth. We are hungry for the Lord. We are working. We have a heart. We want to be a Christian in our heart. We want to be like Jesus in our heart. We heard that wonderful declaration and singing, and we see that affirmation in our study of the Word and in prayer. We got prayer warriors here that are praying. And you know who you are as prayer warriors. And so there's this emphasis on prayer. Worship. Look at worship. You know, in our study group last week, we were looking at worship. As Solomon had built the temple, and in our E100 book, it said when Solomon built the temple, something spooky happened. You in the study, remember we looked at that? Something spooky happened. The temple filled up with smoke, and that was God's presence. That was God's presence, the pillar of smoke that led them. God as smoke filled. His presence was seen as smoke. Now, if we filled up with smoke here, we'd run out with a fire alarm and not think it was God's presence. But the question we asked, when we come to church, do we have an encounter with God in our worship service? Do we see the smoke in our worship service? Do we see God? Do we experience God's presence in the worship service? And yes, we do, was the people in our Bible study. Whether it comes from a moment of wonderful music ministry, the way the Word is read, maybe the object lesson, the message, something touches you at some point in the service, and that's God. You've had an encounter with the living God. We come with an expecting heart. If we all come with an expecting heart, then God will be there to be with us in our expecting hearts. We come with the expectation that we will have an encounter with God in our worship service, then God will do that. God will come and meet you where you are in the pew, in the service. And if we have that collectively, then we have this room full of smoke. God's presence. Service. We're going to sing a song. here I am, Lord. We're going to be commissioning the mission team. They're going to be leaving tomorrow morning. And what an affirmation of service in this church community. I mean, this is a huge undertaking. This is not something small to be held. This is major. This is a small church with a major mission trip. We've had the passion and the vision that's been given to Mike, and God says, who shall I send? And all these people said, here I am, Lord, send me. And each person, he gives them a package of faith and passion and shared vision to go there and bring that to the people in the Dominican. But more so, I'm the convener of the board, and I'm looking for people for the board. I'm praying, God, send some people to the board. And we've had the session praying, and so God says, who shall I send? And we've had three people so far, and I think there's a fourth person said, here I am, Lord, send me to the board. I will serve on the board. We've had a refugee family, two families come. God says, who will I send to look after them? And God raises up here people to look after and care for these people and demonstrate God's love. And so we see that. It's just not a matter of sending in a mission team. It's a matter of responding to God's call in service in anything that you do. So if you're servicing here because of somebody here in the church, you need to examine why you're here. I only want people, for example, on the board where God is called, and they'll say, here I am, Lord, send me. And God gives them the passion to serve. And that's a good affirmation to have somebody like that. We have that on session, and we have that on the mission team, we have on the refugee team, and other ways that people serve here. We're going to sing that song. So the answer to the question is, can we handle the truth? And we've examined the truth. I think we are handling the truth. I think we're doing a pretty good job at handling the truth. And we want to be a Christian. We want to be like Jesus. So these are not prophets that I'm going to show on the next slide. These are comedians from the 20s. Lowell and Hardy. And I was thinking, you're darn tootin', we can handle the truth. And I'm thinking, I've heard that expression. I think that's Lowell and Hardy. And sure enough, I looked it up from the 20s. And this was an album of a little black and white movie that they produced, You're Darn Tootin'. And I think, you know, we're going to sing about it. We're going to have Deb pray. We're going to have Deb lead us in a commissioning, which is an affirmation that we can handle the truth here. And I ask all of you to share in a amen. Amen. Thank you.